This is the city where I grew up. I know the city.
It has a rhythm. It has a personality. It has grievances, scars, and victories.
My dad used to drive a truck around these streets delivering coal. Now no one even burns coal anymore. This city has changed. I've changed.
At some moment in my life, I felt a pull, as though from outside of myself, a gravity that made me want to give my life to helping this city heal and thrive, to become the best city it could possibly be. And it may sound crazy, but I know that that pull came from God.
The same God who made me and made this city, and He knows it far better than I do. I was a young man when I felt that pull, or maybe I was younger than a young man, but I heard a call on my life and I answered.
I want you to know that I see you when you suffer. I see your ambition and when you are tired. I see you striving, fear, and uncertainty. I also see your goodness and your innovation. I see your feats of architecture and intellect.
But also your crime. I see you trying to survive here when times are hard and things are against you. I see you raising families here. I see you having fun. I want you to know that I love all of it. I have high hopes for you, and I'm not the only one.
Great city, what if every part of you were fully alive? What if there were so much fullness, so much aliveness that it overflowed? What if you were better able to care for your poor, and your centres of business were more able to serve your neighbourhoods?
And your neighbourhoods became better homes for your families and children. And your children grew up and began it all again, pouring back into your neighbourhoods and your businesses and caring for your poor.
What if you, great city, became a place where all people flourished and prospered?
I want you to know that you may not know me yet, but I'm a church planter. I've started a church here in this city where you are, where we are together.
I believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ is true.
I believe He is transforming and renewing humanity.
I know He loves the city. That's why I believe these hopes we have for you are possible.
And I am not the only one.
I am not the only one.
And I am not the only one.
I'm not the only one.
And I'm not the only one.
And I am not the only one.
And I'm not the only one.
Good evening. If you don't know me, I'm Sam. I'm on the team here at St. Barnabas. We're spending a time looking at this passage together, so shall we pray? Lord God, we thank you for your presence with us by your Spirit. We thank you that you're the God who speaks, the God who speaks through the Bible and continues to speak to us today. Lord, we thank you that you love our town, and we pray that as we spend this time together in your presence, you would do your work in us, speaking to us, teaching us, changing us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The God who loves Edinburgh, the God who has plans for Hamburg, the God who sees Mumbai, the God who's present in the Bronx, the God who is the hope of Sydney. That God is here in Middlesbrough, in our town. As it said in our Bible reading that Natasha read to us, and I asked her to read more than we were expecting, that was me, not her. The God who has made the world and everything in it is Lord of heaven and earth. He gives everyone life and breath and everything else. And purposes that all people in every place would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. He's not far from any one of us. In him we live and move and have our being. And that was true of the great city of Athens in the first century. And that God caused these words to tumble out of the Apostle Paul's mouth in Athens, that took him to Corinth and then to Antioch and on, city to city with hope and vision and determination. The excitement and the joy, the mess and the arguments of the book of Acts, where our Bible reading came from this evening, spring in a large part from the shocking revelation that the God who'd been willing to come right down and get dirty in the grime of Galilee was still on the move. On the move, breaking down barriers with a gospel that was for everyone, in every place, in every city. And it took most of the Bible characters, who now often get called saints, a long time to get it. So often it takes us a while to get what God's up to, doesn't it? But in the reading that we heard tonight, you really get the sense that Paul is getting it. He's speaking about the God who came to us in Jesus. And so he speaks this good news in a way that the people of Athens will understand. The God who's done the unimaginable act of translating himself into a human life is now at work in Athens. So he needs his good news spoken with an Athens accent. And Paul nails it, as we read. I was here on Wednesday at our community service, and one of our mission partners, Rachel Grandy, who works in Southeast Asia, is here on leave at the moment, and she was speaking to us, and as she spoke on the Bible passages, was sharing a bit from what she's seen God up to in her work in Southeast Asia. And one of her little throwaway lines, which just really struck me, she says, when we do the work that we do, and when we use the Bible that's been translated into local dialect, the Jesus' statement, "I am the bread of life," has been translated, "I am the rice of life." And just a simple thing, but it's about saying, how do we make this real to these people? How do we make God real again to these people? And just an aside, Rachel's getting commissioned next week in the morning for the great work that she does. So if you're able to come and pray for her and bless her and hear her as she preaches to us as well, do come along next Sunday morning. But back to Paul. Okay, in Corinth, he's there at a time of deep personal frustration. A door's been slammed in his face. And Paul hears from God. So this is the end of the reading when he's moved on to Corinth. "Do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you and harm you, because I have many people in this city. Do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you or harm you, because I have many people in this city." And in this city too, just as much as in Athens, God is present, not far from any one of us, hoping that people would seek him, perhaps reach out for him and find him. He's not far from any one of us. God is not far from us here in Middlesbrough. Do we believe it? And I think there's an invitation to take that promise and let it change the way we see our town. Because God has many people in this city. That's really hit me this week. God has many people in our city. I'm trying to let this reframe the way I see our whole town. Because it can be worryingly easy, can't it, to slip into an us and them mentality with either the superiority or the timidity of a declining minority. But this is so far from the picture that we get in the book of Acts. Yes, there was a lot stacked against the early Christians. Yes, Paul faced so much opposition. Yes, they were a minority. But God had many people in the city. And for me, if I'm honest, there's something here that jars with the difference between the way that God sees the city, how God sees the people, and how I see them. So I want to ask God to help me see Middlesbrough the way he does. I want to challenge you, as I'm challenging myself, to commit to being on the lookout for the people God has in this city, to be open to him bringing them your way, or even showing you that they're already right in front of you. Because if we believe that God has many people in this city, then we need to be a church for this city, a church for Middlesbrough, a city positive church, as Tim Keller calls it, committed to this place where we are. And of course, that's part of what this series that we've been doing in the evenings, the City Vision series, is all about, helping us to take the time to consider and develop a renewed city vision, dream, hope, and aspirations for our town of Middlesbrough. And I think one of the things that, if you're anything like me, we probably need to do is reject the lie that actually the city is bad and the countryside is good. And that's a challenge for me. I love getting out in the countryside. This is a picture from a bit of time off last week. Went for a bike ride from my Instagram feed. Do follow me on Instagram. But there's something about being out in nature, isn't there? Enjoying God's creation, which I know helps many of us to feel more connected to God. And that's great, and that's good, and we shouldn't see any problem with that. But if we push that too far, we can get to the point where we believe the countryside is good, that's where God is, and the city is a bad place. And that's not the case. We've got to see it differently. In a square mile in a city, there are so many more people than there are in the countryside. I found this exciting map, if you like this sort of thing. This is dots of where all the people live. It's not that clear on the screen, but you can get the message that where are all the black dots there in Middlesbrough, Tees Valley, that's where everyone is. And then all that white bit is just those beautiful hills where nobody basically lives. Maybe a few people. In the countryside, there are more plants than people, aren't there? But in the town, there are more people than plants. Now, God loves plants. I really believe that. As an aside, I'm sure he wants us to do a better job than we do of caring for the plants. But he loves humans even more than plants. Humans are the crown of creation. Humanity is created in God's image, as we read in Genesis 1:27. In the creation narrative in Genesis 1, God describes his work on day 6 when he created people as very good. God loves the city because there's more image of God per square mile. And this is drastically different, a drastically different way of seeing the city than just as somewhere dirty and messy and sinful, lacking in beauty. This, I think, is something of what it means to be a church for the city, to grasp more of God's heart for this place. His love for this place and the unique collection of people that is Middlesbrough. And that's some of the big picture, if you like, thinking about the town of Middlesbrough as a whole. But I think we need to think at the same time, if we can, about the small picture too, the local, the one-to-one dimension of human interaction that goes on in our town. Because I think a lot of what St. Barnabas being a church for our city really looks like is you and me being on the lookout for the people of peace as we go around and go about our everyday lives. As we're scattered across the town throughout the week, more than when we're gathered here on a Sunday, looking for those people who are open, who are going to be receptive. Even those just waiting to be asked. I had a conversation this week that I was part of, and one of the members of our church was asked by another member, so how do you know, what's your story? You know, what's your testimony, if you like? How did you come to start following Jesus? And she said, well, I was just chatting to a friend, and we were going around with our conversations, and my friend just said, you need to chat to Eric. I'm going to introduce you to my vicar, Eric. She had nothing to do with church at that point. Introduced to Eric, and that conversation began. That was the kickstart to her journey of coming to know Jesus for herself and continuing to follow him today. She was ready for that invitation. She just needed that person to say, why don't you do this? Will you come with me and let's have this conversation? And I think the thing is that we can be maybe put off when we read the book of Acts if we think that Paul was all about standing in the middle of the town with a megaphone, or because he was an amazing speaker with a way with words that most of us are just never going to have, are we? I don't think that's necessary for most of us. How odd to think that because we can't simultaneously convert 100 strangers, that we couldn't invite a friend on an alpha course. or let our neighbour know about the contemporary carols and suggest we go along together and grab a drink afterwards, or have a conversation with the person loitering around the door of the church who looks like they want to come in but isn't ready to come in on their own. Turns out there are loads of people who, if you find yourself asking, would you like me to pray for you, actually see that as a kind and caring and thoughtful thing to do rather than an offensive thing to do. There are friends that we have that want to discuss and talk about what they believe and hear what we believe. And I've got to admit, my wife, Becky, is so much better than me at speaking naturally and openly. And since she's become a mum, so many times she comes back from play dates where, you know, spends most of the time kind of chasing these small children around these houses. And then she'll just say, oh, you know, we've been talking about the big stuff in the middle of this play date. We've been talking about what happens when we die, talking about morality, what's right, talking about prayer, does it work, talking about Jesus. I think what she said to me basically is, I've discovered that you can just bring stuff up and ask people what they believe, rather than waiting for that magic moment when they say, oh, Becky, will you tell me what you believe, waiting for that moment that may well never come along. During the Teesside Uni Freshers' Fair, Miriam, who spoke a bit earlier, organised a stand that was hosted by Fusion, that's the student mission movement that she's part of, and got a bunch of us to be on that stand during the day. And they're doing it at unis up and down the country, and they've been simply inviting students to try church. And so I did it for a little bit of time, and I was just speaking to students that didn't know me, I'd never met before, and I was amazed and really encouraged by the responses I got from these people that I was speaking to cold for the first time when I asked them, have you ever considered coming to church? Because if we believe that everybody is spiritual, everybody has the image of God in them, and that God, by his grace, is close to us all, then I think it makes us see people differently and talk to them in a different way. And in a way, I kind of wonder whether if we were a bit less ambitious, we might be able to make a greater impact. Rather than being maybe overwhelmed, discouraged, or put off by the idea of trying to convert hundreds of people, looking, you know, Middlesbrough as this massive conurbation, all these people. And seeing kind of the daunting example that Paul sets sometimes. How about if we were all committed to doing something smaller? Because if we all were committed to doing something smaller, it would have a big impact on our town. For instance, if a quarter of the members of St. Barnabas saw just one person come to Christ in a year, we'd double in size in 4 years. And actually, I think it's probably something about compound interest that means it would probably be quicker than that. But, you know, none of us came here for a maths lesson. Okay, we came to talk about the city and God's love for Middlesbrough. But, my point is if we're serious about seeing people come to faith, discovering the life-changing truth of the gospel for themselves, I don't think we need to set out to single-handedly convert the whole of Middlesbrough. Instead, modest ambitions have the potential to make a big impact if we do them together. So maybe we need to be asking the question, which group of people in this town am I already best placed to reach? Who has God already brought my way, put into my path? Which networks, subcultures, groups am I already part of? Where am I already meeting people? Our places of work, all these sorts of things. Then at the same time, I think there's another question to ask, which is maybe a harder one, which is which group of people or subculture within Middlesbrough do I find it hardest to imagine God reaching? Perhaps we need to ask God to help us to see those people with fresh eyes too. God is close to us all. And of course, we do this all in God's power, don't we? Only God, the Holy Spirit, can convict and bring people into living relationship with the risen Jesus. But what I am struck by in Acts is that Paul loves the city and seems to understand the city as well. And as I've been talking about, I think it will be hard for us to reach Middlesbrough if we don't love it. And I think we probably all need to ask God the Holy Spirit to give us a greater love for our town. I know that I do. But it's also going to be hard for us to be a church for our city and the church that reaches Middlesbrough if we don't understand it. So I think one of our things that we're called to is to ever more understand the town that we're part of, to be studying up, to understand what's going on here, the people that are here, what makes them tick, what their joys, hopes, aspirations, and fears are. I've done a bit of stuff in Ayresom School recently. We did the Feast of Fun up back in the summer. And when you walk into the school, there might be a picture of it here, I think, you see these flags. So Ayresom School is just right at the top of our parish as you head into town. And they've got the flags here in reception, you see on the left, of all the countries in the world where children are from in the school. I think it's probably something like 40, but does that sound about right? Like, amazing numbers. And this just struck me as one example of a way of seeing what's going on, what our town is like, that when you walk into this school, they say, well, this is what our school is like, and these are where our children are from. And when I was talking to the deputy head recently, and she was saying, well, you know, this is what it's like working at this school, and these are the challenges that we have from being like this, and this is the joys of being like this. So that's just this one example, and that's multiplied across the whole town as we seek to understand our town more. And as you know, I'm new here, so most of you know this town much better than I do already, so I'm learning, but I'm sure we can all continue to be learning about our town, to know it better. Just as another example, something I've been surprised since coming here, I don't know if it's a new thing or just something I wasn't expecting, but it's kind of the artistic side of Middlesbrough, the creative side of Middlesbrough. So this is Orange Pit Market, which is quite nice. You know, but you see Baker Street and all that kind of stuff around there, the kind of creative stuff going on there, and MEMA and all this kind of stuff. And I just wonder, you know, what's happening amongst creatives in our town? And is that a movement that's happening? Is that something we need to be aware of? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But I think it's those sorts of questions that we need to be asking. Who's here? Who's coming here? Who's moving here? All those sorts of questions are the kind of things we need to be asking. How about asking what impacts the university's plans for investment and expansion? What impact are they going to have on our town? What's the potential for the redevelopment of the South Tees SSI site, the Middle Haven development, all that kind of stuff is happening in our town. What difference does it make? How do we need to be ready to be reaching the town as these things happen? So that's the call to love the city and to know the city. And then as we seek to share the good news that we know, I'm just going to rattle through a couple of things. As a church, we're trying to always be creating space where people can come and explore the good news for themselves, so they can hear the truth of the gospel explained to them in relevant ways and explore it and have the opportunity to respond. And Eric's already talked about a couple. The Archbishop's mission is coming up. Loads of opportunities to be inviting people along to hear the good news. The hub that is now called First Fridays that Steve was talking about, another great opportunity to be inviting primary school age children and their families, gathering them together to hear the good news. We run Alpha regularly. There's always Alpha courses coming up, so you can always be thinking, well, is this person ready for, you know, that's quite a big step, but is this person ready? Are they ready to be invited to Alpha? There's going to be one, so why don't we talk about it now, and then when I've got the details of when the next one's happening, you go, oh, remember when we were talking about Alpha, and it seemed like it might be a good thing that you might enjoy doing? Well, it's happening. Why don't you come with me in a couple of weeks' time? That kind of thing. We've got Welcome Break happens here. The team do a great job every Monday morning. If you're ever free on a Monday morning, how about praying, asking God that he would be with you, that he would lead you to some conversations, some people that are open, and turning up and having a chat with the people that are sat here on the tables. One of the things I've been thinking about is could we start a community garden out the front of church? A beautiful space where people could gather together and spend time together, get to know each other as we work together. It's just an idea, but all these kind of things, what are the things that we could be doing, gathering people together, having the opportunity to share the good news, the love of God with people? How about your life group? Have you, what's the next thing you're doing where you could invite people to come and join you that aren't yet part of the church, that don't yet know Jesus? And of course, what I've done there is talked about the stuff that's happening at church, and they're good and exciting things. But it's not just about bringing people to events, is it, as good as they are? All of us have got a story to share. All of us can share our stories, and that's a really powerful thing to do. You don't need, as great as the Archbishop is, you don't just need to get your friend to hear the Archbishop. You've got a message to share of what God is up to in your life as well. Great to bring them to hear the Archbishop, but great to have your conversations as well alongside them, because there's something so powerful about people speaking to you that know you, that know the life that you live, and have that on an ongoing basis as well. So, as I finish, I think we need to ask God for a greater love for our town, for the faith to believe that he has many people in this city that he wants to show us who they are and open those opportunities for us to speak to them, that we'd have eyes open to see those people, to see those opportunities that God is giving us, and that the Holy Spirit would lead us and give us the words to say at those times. Amen.